Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A very pleasant good afternoon, Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070, WKOK, and Sean Carey. Steve, in a moment, checking in from the Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can find us online at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both Google Play, Apple Podcast app, and iTunes, and when you subscribe, it'll automatically drop to your smartphone and tablet. Also, if you want to go back in time, we have 3 months of shows always archived at stevejonesshow.com. Scheduled to join us today, Andrew Callahan. Breakdown Penn State basketball from Lions247.com. And all hail the victors. The Bucknell Bison grabbing their second consecutive Patriot League tournament championship. That's the first time that has happened in the Patriot League since 2008-2009. So Bucknell going dancing after that very, very impressive performance last night at Soica, 83-54 over Colgate, heard live on Eagle 107. And we will hear from head coach Nathan Davis. Nathan will be checking in at 4:35 this afternoon. Sunday night, we will find out during the selection show, which will be televised live on TBS, where Bucknell will be playing, when and who they will be playing. Well, we know for sure the game will be either 1 week from today or next Friday. And of course, if Bucknell is still playing, you can hear it all on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong airtime 30 minutes before tip. So we look forward to learning that with the team. And by the way, there's going to be a viewing party on campus in the Langone Center at Bucknell. I believe they'll start gathering at 5 on Sunday for that. Everybody invited to attend, to join the team and head coach Nathan Davis when we get the big news as to who the first-round opponent is going to be. What a great performance last night for the Bison. A little tight, though. A little snug, though. Halfway through the first half. But wow. Then they woke up. Broke away with a 23-2 run late in the first half. Never looked back. Great performances by the three seniors. Stephen Brown, Nana Fallon, and Zach Thomas. And all getting curtain calls and standing ovations toward the end of the game. 22 points, 6 assists from Stephen Brown. And big congratulations to Nathan Davis and the team. Terrific performance throughout the tournament, including those last two games, last night and then on Sunday, with that pasting of Boston University. But you take a look at just Stephen Brown alone, and this has been brought up more than once on this show. Yes, you hear a lot about Zach Thomas, the Patriot League Player of the Year. And you hear a lot about Nana Fallon with his amazing presence in the middle. But we have talked quite a bit about Stephen Brown, and rightfully so, because of the terrific effort that he gives night in, night out on the floor. And we've even kicked around what other teams in D1 college basketball where Stephen Brown will be a great fit. But simply sensational Stephen Brown in the tournament. In his three games versus Loyola, Boston U, and Colgate, 64 points, 13 assists, 5 steals, and only committing 2 turnovers. Stephen Brown's numbers alone. And how about Nate Sestina last night? I came up with a nickname. While I was watching the game last night in that first half performance by Nate Sestina, I called him the Emporium Emperor. Why not, right? Active off the bench. 12 of his 16 points were scored in the first half. And a couple of block shots to boot. But what a great time to have his best game wearing a Bucknell uniform. So, awesome performance by Nate and those 3 seniors. So let's get you caught up on some basketball scores because there are tournaments going on across the country. So we'll get some final scores here. By the way, Pitt fired head coach Kevin Stallings. Not coming back. Posted a donut, a bagel, in ACC conference play. Went 0-for. Overall, Pitt went 8-24. They got knocked out of the ACC tournament by Notre Dame in the first round. And it was FanRag Sports that broke the story. Two sides are finalizing details in regards to what Kevin Stallings is still owed.
Which, $9 million?
Yeah, how about that?
Look, first of all, let's start with this. I think everyone knows that I know Kevin because his son Jacob played here with the State College Spikes.
That was about what, three, 4 years ago, something like that?
Maybe 12, 13, somewhere in there, 14. Jacob's, excellent defensive catcher, good bat, played at North Carolina, played in 2 College World Series. Well, Jacob Stallings, and the last time I saw Jacob, by the way, was actually in Brooklyn. So I saw both he and Kevin. And I talked to Kevin a little bit when I was in Brooklyn. In fact, he made it a point to seek me out, as a matter of fact. So just so everyone knows, I personally like him a lot. And he is somebody that, because of that, I feel badly about what happened. Now, I don't feel badly about the $9 million buyout. he has a good agent that's taking care of that.
Takes the edge off a little bit.
Yeah, it takes a lot of the edge off. No question. You've got a new athletic director there in Heather Like. And so after going through this for a year, because, she didn't hire him. And because she didn't hire him, you just knew that something like this was a distinct possibility. She wants to bring in somebody that is her own person to do that. All right, I understand. And so you go from there. Now, a guy that's in really good shape is Nathan Davis. We're going to talk to him today. That was surgical. That was surgical. After being basketball's first ever no-hitter for 3 minutes, I thought it was that surgical after that. First 3 minutes was like, okay, is anybody going to score here? He's going to be on today. This might be the one time that you can talk to a coach that's still in his season where there's got to be a little bit of relaxation. Don't you think?
He slept good last night. Yes.
There's nothing. what is there for him to do? You can't worry about the next game because you don't know when the next game is. It might be Thursday or Friday next week. They're not playing in Dayton. I can tell you that. I would be shocked if Bucknell got to Dayton. That's not how that works.
Are they absolutely positively a number 14 seed? Any chance that number could go up?
What, to 13?
Maybe.
Boy. Yeah, sure, it's possible. Were they 25-7? Does that sound right? Is Bucknell 25-7? I suppose it's possible. I'm not quite sure off the top of my head. which conferences would be
25-9.
25-9. Let's see. College of Charleston could be a 13 seed. Who else would fall into that category? Where they'd be a 13. Because normally the last at-larges are 12s. Normally the last at-larges are 12s. Let's see. I mean, the Big Sky winner could be a 13. I'll tell you, South Dakota State could be a 13. After winning the Summit, they could be a 13. So, I mean, those are at least things to consider. How about that?
Got to watch out for those Jackrabbits.
Is this a personal thing?
Or? No, no.
Okay.
Well, it depends on how you hear it.
So something, some problem in the yard. I don't know about.
Yeah, well, quite a few in the neighborhood. Yeah, and yeah. Squirrels. Yeah. But,
and squirrels.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the latest couple bracketologies I saw from Joe Lenardi has Bucknell versus Michigan, and Jerry Palm.
No offense, that's not a good matchup for Bucknell.
That's two hot teams. That's two very hot teams. Wow. And the latest one I saw from Jerry Palm from this morning was Bucknell versus Auburn, which will be played in Dallas in the South bracket.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. Michigan would not be. Actually, Auburn is playing okay. Michigan is playing way better than okay. And Michigan's a more difficult team to get ready for than Auburn. Because the offense that Michigan plays is...
And both of them have Bucknell as a 14. So it'd be a 3 versus 14.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Michigan is a little more complicated to get ready for than Auburn is because Michigan's offense is a little more complicated. And that's why Michigan's always been a tough out in the NCAA tournament under John Beilein, because when you have a short window of time to get ready, the only area where you go in and say, hey, Michigan, and it would be Michigan could come in either extremely well rested, Michigan could come in rusty, or there'd be no change. Well, the well-rested and the no change would be a problem for Bucknell. Rusty would be a big plus. That's if that were the matchup. And Mo Wagner. Well, you know, Zach Thomas is a lot like Mo Wagner. Stephen Brown matching up against Zach Simpson or Xavier Simpson. Xavier Simpson, not a great free throw shooter, has become a better offensive player, but Xavier Simpson might be the best defensive guard that Stephen Brown would see all season. Duncan Robinson, three-point shooter, but has done more of getting himself to the basket. I think Teske off the bench is pretty good. Teske's better off the bench than people realize. Rockman would be a really tough matchup for Bucknell. That's that extra guy that you have to account for. And he's put together that typical senior season, which I think, you know, it's just that extra guy that's in there. And part of it's going to be is how well does Michigan hit their three-point shots. But see, this is where Michigan, though, has become really tough. Michigan, the best they've ever been under John Beilein in the last 10 years is 49th in adjusted defensive efficiency. This year, they're sixth. Remember, 49 had been their best. This year, they're sixth. That's where the big difference has been. And not only that, Michigan down the stretch, I'm talking like for 6 weeks, has been unbelievably good. So I hope it's not Michigan. Okay. I'm glad Bucknell's in, but I hope it's not Michigan. I'd rather see him play Auburn. Some parts of Auburn that just I look at and it don't light me up. Oh, good. We got Doug's final call today. I like that. Tomorrow, Kim Jones. It's all Jones hour tomorrow. Kim and Kev. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Dick and Milton on the show. Hi, Dick. How are you today?
Feeling pretty good, Steve. I just wanted to throw a little congratulations out to Bucknell Basketball. They really played. You know, the basketball down the stretch was incredible. And you might not know this, but Coach Griffin, who played to get on the team to beat Kansas, said this might be the best Bucknell team ever. That's a pretty good compliment for a guy like that. I know he coaches a little bit.
And I would believe it because this is a senior-laden team. It's an older team. And, again, what Bucknell has to do is so different than what I watched at Madison Square Garden. Because, remember, I sat there on Saturday, and I knew that Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan, the other three teams besides Penn State, already knew they were in. Bucknell was in a three-game playoff to get to the NCAA tournament. They could not afford a single stumble, quarters, semis, finals, and they won it. It takes a lot to do that. I don't care what floor you're playing on, and should tell everybody, again, you're in a three-game playoff to get to the NCAAs, and they won all three games impressively.
Yeah, they did. And there's some teams that had one game play-ins and lost at home in the last week too. So it does happen.
Exactly.
Some of the teams that were actually got the home court because of the record and they lost and were eliminated. So it happens. And so anyhow, I just wanted to congratulate them. They played very well. If they don't win another game, they've made their mark.
I think they're well coached, excellent team, excellent program, and are getting exactly what they deserve, and that is a trip to the tournament. They earned it.
Well, it's Penn State is a bid yet, too. I'm sure they're on one of the bubbles anyhow. I don't know how many factors are involved there, but so, I mean, they play very well.
There are a lot of factors. I mean, I think that a lot of people here are thinking NIT right now. There's just so – you have to have so many things happen to get there. Right now, they are Joe Lunardi. They are number six out. So that's where they are. So they're in that next four out group for him. But let's see how Notre Dame does tonight. Arizona State looked awful last night. Oklahoma didn't look good again. I mean, Arizona State's 8-11 their last 19 games. People are saying they're in. They're 8-11 their last 19 games. Oklahoma – I mean, my goodness, well, they won two games here in the last 6 weeks. They're in.
One of the interesting things about Bucknell, the girls play, the women play Navy tonight, and then they play American most likely. If they would win those two, they would be in the NCAA again, which is kind of a miraculous because not many conferences get their men and women both in 2 years in a row. So we'll see how they do. Anyhow, thanks, Steve.
Hey, okay. Jeff Byers is going to be on the show next week, Dick, to preview the NCAAs.
Well, I'll be out there next Wednesday, I guarantee you.
Yeah, Cleveland, here you go.
Here we go.
You're going to take over the city, man.
He's gone.
He's already setting it up right now on MapQuest or Google Earth. It's going to be a Penn State invasion of Cleveland. And that's LeBron's home is going to be the home of the NCAAs. That's a great arena there. All right. Nathan Davis, moments away. Bucknell's going to the NCAAs.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Nathan Davis an hour from now. Kim Jones, NFL Network tomorrow. And the waiting game continues to play. We're going to talk one of the suit's favorite topics, money. The unfortunate part for him is we're not talking about money he makes. Which, by the way, is another topic unto itself. Let's see. Virginia, which was going to be the number one seed in the tournament no matter what it did today, took Louisville apart by 17 today, 75-58. That game was never close. Xavier had no problem, beat St. John's 88-60 today. That game, also same story, never close. Let's see, other games. Kansas State in overtime beat TCU 66-64. Missouri and Georgia scoreless early. Nevada leads UNLV 20-17 under 8 first half. Kansas leads Oklahoma State 12-10 under 16. Arizona leads Colorado 22-19 with a little bit better than 8 to go in the first half. Clemson is all over Boston College 50-36 with 16.5 to play in that one. I'm going to have to look up, though. Because Alabama was playing Texas A&M, and that game was getting close, and I never did see what the final was on that.
I've got 71-70, Alabama getting the win.
All right, it's a big win for Alabama. They needed that. That doesn't help Penn State much. It helps Alabama, though. Notre Dame's got Duke tonight. Because that game, at one point, Alabama was up by 14 in that game. And evidently, Texas A&M came back, and Colin Sexton, who's been a part of the subject of the FBI, his name has come up. Maybe not a subject of, but his name's been mentioned, hit the game winner with 4.4 seconds to go. So they won. So that's where it is, and that's where it's playing out. But Bucknell knows they're in. Bucknell knows they are in. It's a nice feeling to have. Look, this has got to be, for any coach, the day after something like this. Okay. All right. Don't, you know, no game to prepare for next. You give the players the day off. Get to relax. And you get to talk to some idiot talk show host. Other than that.
You're having a great day.
Yeah, you're having a great day. Could do it without the idiot talk show host. It'd be an awesome day. So,
by the way, that's a great ACC doubleheader tonight. Night before the quarterfinals, North Carolina Duke, and then after that, you got North Carolina Miami. Pretty good.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's good. That'll be really good. I watched a lot of the games last night, which I thought were good. So, all right. Let's talk about Suit hates when I talk about cash. He hates it. And there's a reason, and I understand why he hates it. I mean, so please don't, this is not the kidding around part. Because, you know, when I talk about the suit, I'm kidding around. He knows I'm kidding around. We kid back and forth. It's all in good fun on the show. It is not even remotely close to being serious. Although the stories are real, though. And he'll be the first to tell you the stories are real.
Hey, but hey, yeah. If it's the one thing you need, though, to pay your mortgage and to get into a game, you know, but hey, it's what it's all about.
I'm just saying, the stories are real, though. That part's not made up, and he'll be the first to admit, yeah, it is real. Yeah, I did do that. But he never liked the money part of it, and I understand the reason why, because, you know, you want... It was the late Chief Justice Earl Warren, who back in the 60s, early 70s, said that when he picks up the Washington Post, the first thing he would do would be to go to the sports section because he wanted to read about individuals' accomplishments and not about the disasters of the world that awaited him on the front page. And I completely, completely understand that. That's why we've had this rift in the country about, for example, national anthem protests and so forth. Because people want to be appreciating and rooting for accomplishments and rooting for teams and individuals and so forth, instead of having to, quote, deal with the politics or the issues. Yeah, okay, and so I understand that. It goes back to, like I said, the Chief Justice Earl Warren back in the late 60s, 70s, said he, when he picked up the Washington Post, he went right to the sports section because he wanted to read that first. He wanted to read about individuals' accomplishments, about teams' accomplishments, before he looked at the front page and saw all the disasters. But money is a reality. And money is a reality at every level. I don't care whether you're paying, doing pay-to-play for high schools or trying to make sure you've got some sort of budget on an FCS level, an FBS level, or the NFL, the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. Money is always going to be a principal topic because, in reality, all of that is a business. So in college, it is a business. No getting around it. But the college business is different than the pro business. And I always go back to the Ed O'Bannon case. And the Ed O'Bannon case, where he was on the cover of EA Sports, and he said, hey, look, you know, he says, how come I wasn't getting anything for my likeness for being on that? Okay. So he brought it up, and you knew the odds were going to be good that he was going to win the case. But I'll never forget that Mark Emmert, the president, the head of the NCAA, was called as a witness. All right. And I didn't really think twice about it because he's naturally going to be on the witness list because it was the NCAA that sold the rights on EA Sports. That's fine. And then he put together on the witness stand, he handed the case on a silver platter to O'Bannon's people. And the reason he handed it to them on a silver platter is that he got up there and he started, he gave this, what I refer to as an ivory tower testimony, talking about the mission of students and student athletes and the mission of the university. And I'm sitting there, I'm reading this stuff. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Okay? Explain to everybody where the money goes. Maybe you didn't want to explain where the money went. The NCAA right now is running a $105 million profit from last year. $105 million. Maybe he doesn't want to explain where the money goes. But when it comes to an athletic department, yesterday Penn State, in no uncertain terms, in black and white with numbers, explained where the money went. And guess what? It told the same story, which has been the same story that's been told over and over again by all of the financial disclosure statements they've put out every year at this time. They've all told the same story. You know what that story is? They are spending almost every dime. They are not running massive profits where they're taking the excess and saying, you know, I think I'm going to go out and we're going to invest in Amazon. Yeah, we got enough money. Let's buy a couple million shares. You know, no, that's not what they're doing. You know, you have to. Some people did say to me today, a couple people, well, yeah, they're 5 million in the black. I said, yeah, you have to have a rainy day fund. Let's give you an example. They, you put, Penn State does put, and it's in the budget there. I did not look at the number. I just know it's there. They have to put about $2 million a year of maintenance in the Beaver Stadium every year, all the time. What if, for example, it's happened three times, and it happened a few years ago, where the turf, in fact, it happened last summer. They had to replace a lot of turf in Beaver Stadium after the Blake Shelton concert. Okay. Well, where do you think that money comes from? It comes from that little bit of cushion and pad that you have built in there where you at least have, it's there and available in case you need it. That's what that's about. Where Emmert failed on the witness stand, when I mean explain where the money goes, I think you saw in plain day, if you look at the numbers, football, and again, these numbers go to June 30th, 2017, so the end of the fiscal year. The new contracts with Fox, which would not be on the books, the new contract with Fox, the new deal with ESPN, the new deal with CBS, none of that money is in there because that didn't start till July 1st, 2017. Okay? So it'll be very interesting to see next year what the numbers look like in this regard. But that aside, it shows football made a profit of $41.4 million when it was all said and done. Men's basketball made a profit of about $5.4 million when it was all said and done. Men's ice hockey made a profit of about $500,000 when it was all said and done. Everybody else lost money. That's where I now bring it back to Emmert's testimony. The reason, you know, you have to look at a jury or an impartial group out there and say, how many of you have daughters? How many of you hope that your daughters have opportunity at whatever level they are in life? Well, because of the money brought in by football and men's basketball, it affords the opportunity for women's soccer, for softball, women's gymnastics, women's volleyball. Okay? How many of you have sons that are not football or men's basketball players? Show of hands. There'd be a lot probably in the room that have them, especially in Pennsylvania, playing soccer, lacrosse, or wrestling. Well, how many of you are hoping that they get an opportunity at whatever level? And, of course, all the hands would go up. Well, because of the money brought in by football and men's basketball, that opportunity is there for men's lacrosse, for wrestling, for men's soccer, for men's volleyball, for track and field, cross country, whatever it may be. That's where the money goes. 98 student athletes, football and men's basketball, getting full scholarships at this or any other university, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Texas. The money that's brought in from ticket sales, TV contracts, radio contracts, corporate partners, you know, that long list, that pipeline, donations, you know, it is a long list of ways to get money, concessions, parking, things like that. Where they're turning those kind of profits, all of that profit margin is completely eaten up, and in this case at Penn State, by the other 28 sports. And it's well spent, it's properly spent, and it gives each one of them an opportunity to compete at the highest level. For example, the NCAA Fencing Championships are going to be here at Penn State in 2 weeks. It is great that they have the opportunity to have that here. It is great that field hockey has the opportunity to do what it does. It is great that wrestling has the opportunity to do what it does at the highest level because the money is there to do it. But when you start hearing the arguments about, and I'll use a great example. I remember when Johnny Manziel was at Texas A&M, and Johnny Manziel had just put together his Heisman Trophy winning season. And I heard somebody ask the question on a show one day about, oh, what is his value to the university? Wow, I mean, really, I mean, what is... Okay, there's no doubt that a Johnny Manziel has value. Now, at that time, you were allowed to sell shirts that had your number on it. So, you know, how much could have Johnny Manziel have made from the number two jerseys being sold? Or at an autograph show? Or maybe the opportunity to do a car commercial down in College Station in that area down there? I mean, how could it? I mean, that's why you want to consider these things. But overall, though, isn't it the brand? If you can keep churning out high level, Joe Paterno did for decades, James Franklin's doing now. You saw that, for example, winning basketball, they averaged 11,600 per game their final five home games. I brought that up today on the show I did this morning at Michigan State. And the first thing they said was, whoa. Because that's not what they're used to at Penn State. And I said that when you look at, it's the brand, though. Take Michigan State, for example. I said, Miles Bridges, unless he shocks everybody again, is going to the NBA draft. Jared Jackson's going to the NBA draft as a one and done. The Breslin Center is still going to be sold out next year for Michigan State basketball. Saquon Barkley did remarkable things here. Thrilled, entertained, and won during his 3 years here in conjunction with his teammates. Beaver Stadium is going to have as many people in it this year as they did this past season. He's going to be running wild in the NFL. But Penn State is a really good team that people are excited about. And guess what? In that changeover, they had great teams with Mike Reed, Steve Smear, Jack Ham, Franco Harris, Lydell Mitchell, Chuck Fusina, Todd Blackledge, Kurt Warner, Matt Millen, Bruce Clark, you know, all the way through to DJ Dozier and Shane Conlon and Pete Katopoulos and Kerry Collins and Kyle Brady and Kajana Carter, LeVar Arrington, Courtney Brown, Larry Johnson, Michael Robinson, Evan Royster, Paul Posluszny, Dan Connor, Sean Lee, all the way up to Trace McSorley, Saquon Barkley, Grant Haley, Jason Kabinda, Marcus Allen. I mean, there's been this long lineage of great players where the turnover, they've kept the brand name Penn State strong, but it's the brand that has stayed as the constant. You've got Penn State fans out there. And the coaches have done a brilliant job of bringing in players that excite, entertain, and win. That enhanced the brand. But you got people going to Penn State games. Saquon Barkley won't be there this upcoming season. Penn State's going to have as many people at games as they did in 2017. And I'm not saying they don't deserve something. That's why I've talked openly about, hey, look, you know, open the door to maybe having agents like baseball and hockey do. Now, examine it. Look at the unintended consequences. You know, make sure that you can do this right. Maybe open the door on likeness, where you can sell your autograph. You can do a commercial or something, whatever. Open that door. It's not really going to affect all 125 guys in a roster. I can tell you that. It's going to affect 2, 3, 4, 5 guys max total. But at least have the opportunity there for them. I mean, Ohio State lost their entire secondary 2 years ago off a great team. Ohio State still sold out every game the next season. They've lost Ezekiel Elliott. They still sold out every game. They're losing JT Barrett. They're going to sell out every game. A, they're really, really good. And because of that, they've also established a great brand of Ohio State. That isn't talked about very much. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.